the commissioners will acknowledge.
We have 10 seconds.
Oh, I'm sorry. The commissioners, at the end of the day, were frightened of Giuliani and really only asked him softballs.
Hmm. Well, Philip Sheehan, we have to leave it there. You certainly don't leave it there in your book. The book is called The Commission, The Uncensored History of the 9/11 Investigation. And that does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Berkshire, Hilda Kadusa, Amata Angeli Kamat, Jeffrey Hagerman. I'm Amy Goodman. Our website, democracynow.org. We're looking for a TV producer full-time here in New York. Check our website. Thanks for joining us.
And it's 6 o'clock here on radio station WUSB Stony Brook. Time, once again, for Off the Wall. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. You know what tonight is? It's a Super Tuesday. And I'm not just saying that because the weather has been warm and disgusting up here in New York. Really, what's up with that? Come on already. Winter. We need winter. No, I'm not saying it because of that. In fact, I would say it's a sucky Tuesday, normally. But today is Super Tuesday because, well, that's how our political system works here in this country. For some reason, it is so deemed that, 24 states? 24 states today are having primaries in the upcoming presidential election. Now, I can only imagine how the rest of the world looks upon this. We see news reports every now and then. We do. It leaks through to us about elections in other countries. And when we see this, the election happens. Well, actually, what happens usually, there's an election. People turn out in great numbers. And then many times there's a runoff between the two top candidates. And that usually takes place a month or so afterwards. And then what happens, usually there's some kind of a coalition with the various parties and factions that have gotten a certain percentage of the vote, so that if one party gets, say, 10% of the vote, they get 10% of the power in parliament or something like that. But here in this country, it's winner take all. You get 49%, your opponent gets 51%, you don't get anything. That's pretty much the way it works. I'm simplifying it. I'm way simplifying it. But basically, there are a lot of disenfranchised people here. Like me, for instance. There's this election going on today. Everybody's out. Every line's out into the street. People voting in one of the two primaries, either Democrat or Republican. And they might as well put up a big sign that says, Emmanuel Goldstein, you are forbidden from voting here at every single polling station in the state because I am not allowed to vote. And the reason for that is because I have refused to draw up an allegiance with any particular party. I'm being penalized for being independently minded. And I know that's a sin in this place, to be independently minded, but really, you know, to select the president or the candidate who's going to run in November, You know, by the time anybody asks my opinion, it's going to be down to two people. And it's not like my vote's going to matter anyway at that point because of the whole Electoral College nonsense where basically a state goes one way or another and your vote doesn't count at all if you pick the wrong side that everybody else in your state goes for. This is the one that matters. This is where the tide will turn. I just don't get it. I just don't understand why it has to be drawn up this way. Why can't we have a whole bunch of people running and have everybody help select who's going to run next, who's going to be eliminated? Kind of like, you know, a playoff system. Or just something where there aren't people that are not allowed to vote. Now, this isn't the case in every state. New York actually is one of the few places left that has what's known as a closed primary, which is only the people in the party are allowed to vote. It's, you know, in a way, it's very strange because when you say you have to be in the party, you think of things like Communist China and the Soviet Union, where, you know, good party members were rewarded and those who weren't in the party didn't get meat this week. And we're just one step away from that. One step away from me not getting meat. Yeah, so you see the danger. You see how this could escalate and become even worse. But anyway, whatever. Point is, at least I have this forum here where I can speak on a microphone. Might not be able to go into a polling station and pull those little levers, which we still have. But at least I can speak out and voice my opinion in that way. And you can too, of course. We're opening up the phones today because it is Super Tuesday and we want to hear what people have to say. Our phone number, which we'll be opening up a little bit later on, area code 631-632-9872. That spells out 631-632-WUSB. And if you've never called the show before, I'd like to hear from you. And not to say that we don't want to hear from the people who have called, but we want to hear some new voices. I want to hear someone say, you know, this is the first time I've ever called this station. Well, okay, or this show. Yeah. How about that? And we'll take calls maybe in about 20 minutes or so. Is that fair? All right. I'd like to hear from people. You know, let's try and categorize the calls today. We'll start with people who are listening to the actual radio station, and then we'll move on to the internet, and then we'll do some time traveling. People who are listening in the future can figure out how to call us from there and tell us how it all turned out. All right. Today is Super Tuesday throughout the country. Various primaries are going on. The big one that I can see is, of course, the battle between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. And it's interesting. It's interesting how this campaign has progressed and really kind of caught fire. I mean, the vote in South Carolina, wow. What was it? A 2-1 margin for Barack Obama, which I think indicates that a lot of people see him as at least, if not an actual agent of change, at least a symbol of change. And that alone can be a very empowering thing right there. So it's an exciting race. Everyone is saying that. Everyone is saying this particular election is an exciting one. Let's see what the mass media has to say about it. A new poll showing their race in a virtual dead heat. Virtual dead heat. And that's all across the nation. The Democratic presidential candidates are making their final pitches. Actually, they've probably made their final pitches by now, before today's historic vote. Clinton and Obama were making campaign swings in the Northeast. And I guess nobody really knows what's going to happen. The Republican side of things, though, of course, is very different. I mean, for me, anyway, I think it's quite obvious that it's going McCain's way. And the other reason why McCain has a tremendous advantage is that the way the Republicans do things in primaries, it's winner-take-all. In other words, McCain wins New York. He gets all the delegates from New York. And Romney or Huckabee or whoever's left, they don't get anything. That's not the way the Democrats do it in the primaries. That is the way the presidential elections work. But in the primaries, it's proportional. So in every state that the Democrats are having a primary in, if if one candidate gets 50% of the vote and one candidate gets 40% of the vote, they each will get something. They each will get pretty much that percentage of delegates, from what I understand. Seems a little bit fairer, you know, like people's votes actually matter. I never understood this winner-take-all thing. But that's the system that a lot of us are used to. So I guess we'd like to hear predictions, thoughts, things like that, with all the endorsements going on as far as various celebrities and politicians and things like that. It'll sure be interesting. All right, let's look at what's going on in the rest of the world first. Let's see here. Oh, this is interesting. China's going to stop the rain for the Olympics coming up this year. Yeah, they say they've stopped the rain from falling in experiments aimed at guaranteeing a dry opening ceremony at the Olympic Games in August. There's no roof on the showpiece Bird's Nest Stadium, so the Beijing Meteorological Bureau has been charged with developing methods of preventing wet weather, spoiling what promises to be a spectacular start on the evening of August 8th. Can you imagine that, being charged with stopping the rain? Wow. It's too bad they can't stop the snow. I mean, I don't think it's too bad, but of course, the millions of people who are going through mayhem right now in China, trying to get from one part of the country to the other in time for the New Year celebration, and meeting all kinds of problems because of the bad weather they've been having, I'm sure they would prefer to have a rainy opening day rather than deal with all this nonsense. Anyway, Zhang Qian, head of weather manipulation, head of weather manipulation at the bureau. That's a great title. I want a business card from that person. Our experiments with rain mitigation have been aimed at light rain. With heavy rain, it is more difficult. The results with light rain have been satisfactory. Yeah, you give people umbrellas, you know, that tends to work. For cold clouds below 0 degrees, we use a coolant made from liquid nitrogen to increase the number of droplets while decreasing their mean size. As a result, the smaller droplets are less likely to fall and precipitation can be reduced. For clouds above 0 degrees, we use the seeding agent silver iodide to accelerate the droplets' collision and coalescence, producing a downdraft which suppresses the formation of clouds. You know, this kind of thing scares me. Because the day will come, mark my words, the day will come, where we are controlling the weather to such a degree that a weather forecast will say there'll be a shower from 6:40 until 7:10 tonight. And maybe you can request a shower in your neighborhood if you need one. That's what we're moving towards. And a lot of people think that's a great thing, you know, to be able to control the environment you're around. And it is sort of what I talk about insofar as computers and technology. You want to be the person in control rather than being a slave to it. But, man, this is nature, you know, nature. Nature always has the final word. In the end, nature will prevail. Kind of don't think it's healthy to be ignoring nature and trying to control things and thinking that we're the masters of our domain 100% when we're not, and we never will be. Okay, so that's what they're doing in China. That should be fun. Wouldn't it be great, though, to see a downpour during the opening ceremonies? Not just because I'm a spoil sport, but just to see that the experiment didn't work. In fact, it turned into some kind of a zombie experiment, and all of a sudden, hail and snow and everything starts falling out of the sky because somebody put the wrong chemical in the wrong test tube or something. That would be fun. How about this? In Spain, a set of lyrics proposed only a couple of weeks ago for their wordless national anthem. Did you know that they had a wordless national anthem? It has no words. It's kind of cool. But those words were yanked amid criticism that they smacked of the country's right-wing past and did not reflect the rich cultural diversity of the present-day Spain. The president of the Spanish Olympic Committee, the Olympics are involved in all this. Just want you to know that. Olympics are behind everything that goes on. In June, they organized a contest seeking proposals for lyrics. They got 7,000 entries. Four stanzas announced a couple of weeks ago as the official candidate were being shelved because of a lack of consensus. The lyrics have generated controversy and, in some cases, rejection. The proposed lyrics started off with the Viva Español rallying cry of the late General Francisco Franco's dictatorship and called on Spaniards to love the fatherland. You know, I gotta wonder, what were they thinking? Love the fatherland, quoting Franco. Of course people are going to object to that. Don't need a college degree to know this. For centuries, Spaniards have only been able to hum along to the song, whose author is unknown, and made for awkward moments at official ceremonies and sporting events. Why? Why? What's awkward about humming? What's awkward about maybe not doing anything except listening to the music? I'll tell you what's awkward is being at ball games and nonsense where people are trying to remember the words to our own ridiculous national anthem, which has some of the most bizarre words and phrases that I've ever seen. All right, so let's hope they not only stay wordless over there, but they help spread that idea to other places. Nothing like a good tune, you know, a good tune to carry along a melody. But you don't need words sometimes. Sometimes the music speaks to emotions. I mean, the French national anthem, for instance, I wish I had a copy here. It's one of the most stirring pieces of music ever written. And yeah, you hear people singing, but that's not what does it. That's not what makes it stirring. Listen to a Beethoven symphony. Yeah, oh, wouldn't it be better if it had lyrics? Come on. And don't bring up the ninth, all right? That's different. I still don't understand what they're saying, but that's not what makes it a stirring piece of music. Okay, moving on. According to the Provo, Utah Daily Herald, the founder of Flix Club, you've not heard of these guys, they're a defunct company. What they used to do, they used to edit swearing and nudity from films and resell those films as family-friendly versions. I'm sure if we haven't mentioned this particular company, we've mentioned that particular practice. Anyway, the founder of Flix Club has been arrested on charges, get ready, that he and another man paid two 14-year-old girls for sex. Yeah, police also said that the men may have been using the family-friendly video business as a front for producing porn. Daniel Dean Thompson of Orem, Utah, was released from the Utah County Jail on bond, according to the Utah County Jail website. Isn't it great we can quote jail websites and get factual information? Thompson, owner of the edited movie retail store in Orem, was arrested on two charges of forcible sexual abuse and two charges of unlawful sexual activity with a 14-year-old. He had a cohort, Isaac Lifferth, and he's still in jail, actually. He was arrested on two charges of forcible sexual abuse, a charge of unlawful possession of a prescription drug, two charges of aiding prostitution, two charges of unlawful sexual activity with a 14-year-old, and two charges of patronizing a prostitute. So, according to the police report, they told the girls that edited movies were sold at Flix Club as a front, and that they actually made and distributed pornography there. He was a former dealer of edited movies with Clean Flix and started Flix Club at the same address after the dealership was terminated at a time when the Hollywood movie industry was bringing legal pressure on businesses that edited movies. Flix Club was forced to close last year in the wake of a landmark federal court ruling that said several movie editing businesses violated U.S. copyright laws when they altered movies to remove nudity, profanity, and other offensive content and offered sanitized versions for sale. I wonder how it works on airplanes and commercial television, because that's essentially what's happening there. They're removing all this and offering it for resale, sometimes with different dialogue and certainly with different pictures and different ideas. Anyway, a former employer, and this is the quote of the day, said he was always talking about fighting Hollywood for the good of the children. So maybe now people, when they hear this kind of nonsense being spoken all the time, they'll think twice. Maybe there's ulterior motives. There usually are. Usually are ulterior motives. People wanting to clean things up. Yeah. Okay, let's move into a little bit of violence here. Actually, no, let's not go into the violence yet. Let's do some happy news first. Today, French President Nicolas Sarkozy, this has nothing to do with his personal life, he has attended the launch of a new high-speed train made by engineering giant Alstom. Yeah, you know, the French don't have fast enough trains. They have to unveil even faster trains just to make us feel really bad. The AGV. AGV train will travel at up to 360 kilometers an hour, and that translates to 224 miles per hour. No locomotives at either end. More passengers can be carried. Motors will be placed under each carriage. And it's the successor to the TGV. I've ridden the TGV quite a few times, and that's such a nice, smooth ride and very fast. And this is even faster. And meanwhile here, we struggle with trains that move at all. if they go above 50 miles an hour, we're happy. If they don't knock you on your ass while you're standing up because of the bumpiness, that's also considered a good ride. You know, what does it take? What does it take for us to wake up and actually spend some money? Get something real? Treat people like they deserve to be treated. Well, of course, we have to stop wasting money and all the nonsense that has been going on, such as invasions and occupations and all kinds of other waste that we could fill hours and hours talking about. And finally, in our interesting news, before we move into the violence, a large mysterious blob has taken over a major sewer line in the city of Lewiston, Maine, leaving public works crews stumped as to how to budget. Yeah, and the title to this story, which moved on the Associated Press, is City Battles Giant Blob. I could not make this up. Well, I could, but you wouldn't believe it. But I didn't, so believe me. According to city officials, the stretch of 12-inch pipe on Main Street backed up on January 13th, and the city has been trying unsuccessfully to clear the line ever since. Now, I'm not sure. This actually was from late January. This story was from the last week of January, so maybe if you're in Lewiston, Maine, could you tell us, do you have a giant blob that you still are trying I don't know what you're trying to do with it. Destroy it? Get it on your side? I don't know. Deputy Public Services Director Kevin Gagne says the doughy 90-foot mass is comprised of grease, flour, and rags. It's like a monster. And the city has chosen to replace the 170-foot line at a cost of between $40,000 and $60,000. I guess they're just going to transport everything with the blob included and just rebuild. That's how you tear a country down, making giant blobs. Forget all this terrorist talk. Okay, violence. Let's see how the violence is going. Three men were killed by a gunman after an argument broke out in the restaurant while the Super Bowl was being shown on television. What a game, huh? What a game that was. I can see why people were killing each other because, wow, it was so close all throughout. And then that last minute, which lasted about, what, 45 minutes, where people were throwing balls around and catching them and running and knocking each other down and then kicking the balls and things like that. And people cheering and jumping and waving flags and... Yeah, you sort of have to kill people for that, don't you? I mean, it's controversial. But what happened was, anyway, Sunday night at the Uno Chicago Grill restaurant, which is a part of a dining, shopping, and entertainment complex near FedEx Field in the Largo area of Maryland, they were apparently showing the game there. And one of the men had a TV but... Can you imagine having a TV begun at a Super Bowl celebration or at a bar or something like that? I don't know if anybody has the guts to try that. But I could see some shootings resulting in that. And, you know, I could see a lot of our quote-unquote Second Amendment listeners saying, yeah, well, that was justified. That was a justified killing because the person turned off the Super Bowl in the middle of it. You have to ask yourself, if you even think for a moment that that's right to react in that way, and be honest, I know a lot of people would say that. If you think that way, yeah, you know, we got a problem. We got a big problem. Anyway, I don't know what exactly started this, but there was an argument in the restaurant's bar area, and that's where two of the men were shot. Another one was shot outside in the parking lot. And apparently the argument started after one team scored, before the New York Giants beat the New England Patriots. They feel the need to tell you who won the game in a story like this. But, I mean, this is a perfect indication of how something that is just a bunch of people acting stupid escalates when guns are involved. Now, this is not me saying that Gestapo has to burst into your homes and seize all the guns that you own. It's me saying that we have a problem and that people are acting like idiots and that guns are too easy to grab a hold of when you're angry. And if you don't recognize that, then you're blinding yourself to what's going on out there. We need to figure out a way to stop this while maintaining whatever rights people think they have. How about this? Here are a couple other stories first. In Mississippi, Natchez man shot and killed his wife when he mistook her for an intruder in their home. Glenn and Deborah Mizell woke up about 4 a.m. to the sound of their barking dog. Glenn went down to investigate, taking a pistol with him. Unaware, his wife had left the bedroom and gone into the kitchen. When he saw her figure in the dark, he fired his gun, as was his right to do. She died at the scene. And then you have, up in New Hampshire, a woman was shot and killed after she and her husband fired guns at each other during a dispute. Police say they were called to the Dion residence in Newbury, New Hampshire. The couple was involved in a dispute. Afterward, Karen Dion grabbed a shotgun and fired it at her husband. Gary then retrieved his own firearm, and after being confronted by his wife, who still had her shotgun, he shot and killed her. No charges have been filed. Incredible. And then you had this story, which, you know, for some reason, this has not been reported nearly as much as that you would expect it to be in the media. Also in Maryland, same place where the Super Bowl killings happened. And that really hasn't gotten much play either. But this is a 15-year-old kid who murdered his entire family. He fatally shot his parents and two younger brothers as they slept. This is in a town called Cockeysville, Maryland. He then spent more than 12 hours hanging out with his friends before returning home and pretending to find his father dead and calling 911. He later confessed. Now, of course, this is all allegedly, but sure does seem like this is what happened. The teen had not been getting along with his father. On Friday night, he went into the house after other family members had gone to sleep and shot each of them with his father's handgun, which was left in the house. Now, this is a perfect indication of how somebody snaps, and people snap all the time. Everyone's saying, wow, he seems so normal. We never thought something like this could happen. Folks, you know, the people around you are exactly the people who snap, and if you give them access to weapons of mass destruction or guns or whatever you want to call them, then you will see things like this happen all the time. You don't believe me? Walk around with a gun in your hands for a week and see how often your hands clench around it as somebody annoys you. Now, don't do that. That's a bad idea. It's a bad suggestion. But just imagine yourself doing that, okay? Imagine that. And the irony here is that in this particular case, this guy, the father, thought that he was keeping his family safe by having a handgun in the house. Doesn't work that way. Does not work that way. Here's an editorial from the Baltimore Sun, which is a real newspaper, by the way. It's not just that one on the wire. It's a real newspaper. A great deal is not yet known about the horrific quadruple murders in Cockeysville that have... God, I wish the town didn't have such a silly-sounding name, because this is a really serious story. But, yeah, Cockeysville it is. That have led police to charge a 15-year-old honor student with murdering his parents and two younger brothers. But this much is clear. The presence of a gun in the house did not protect the Browning family. It put them at a greater risk of violence. Baltimore County Police say Nicholas Browning used his father's handgun to kill his family on Friday night. Did you hear about this story? It has not been in the media. I can't understand why. It's mass murder. An entire family wiped out because of a crazy moment. I saw it once on the news, and that was it. While such familicide, good word, huh? Familicide, is hardly common, numerous studies have shown that having a gun in the home can be exceedingly dangerous. In fact, a firearm is far more likely to be used to shoot a family member or acquaintance than to defend the home against an intruder. We just read a bunch of examples. And don't see nearly as many examples of the intruders being warded off by waving a pistol at them or something. Anyway, that's because the presence of a gun in the home raises the risk of not only homicide, but suicide and accidental death as well. One Johns Hopkins study found, for instance, that about one-third of all deadly shootings occur during a family argument. One-third. Wow. The same study found that nearly 75% of suicide victims lived in a home where at least one gun was present. Three-quarters. Yet the National Rifle Association would have the public believe that guns make us safer, period. Certainly there are people for whom that is true, and there are devices such as gun safes that can reduce the risks associated with gun ownership. But the combination of families and deadly weaponry is still too often a devastating mix. We do not advocate the banning of all guns, but there are measures government can take to reduce their risk. Maryland has a law requiring adults to store guns in a place that is inaccessible to children. Perhaps that rather open-ended and rarely enforced requirement needs to be strengthened. Does anyone really have a problem with that? I mean, I have to ask why. It's not forbidding the ownership. It's enforcing acting in a sane manner, being safe, protecting yourselves. Anyway, continuing here, such legislation wouldn't necessarily have spared the Brownings, of course, and roughly 200 million firearms in circulation in this country. It's certainly no cure-all for gun violence. But at minimum, families need to become better educated about the grim reality of bringing a gun into the house. The consequences of that decision are simply too lethal to be ignored. That editorial appearing February 5th in the Baltimore Sun. Yeah, it's tragic when things like this happen, and all too common in this country, and we need to learn. We need to realize that we have problems. And this is certainly one of the major ones. You know, it's also interesting. We read this statistic a few weeks ago. Last year in New York City, 35 murders. 35 murders, but those only count the number of murders of people who did not know their assailant, did not know the person who killed them. So the rest, all the rest, and I don't know what the number is for all the rest, but it's significantly higher than that, they involve family members or friends, people you live with. Those are the people you get angry with. Those are the people you burst out at. Those are the people you say things that, you know, words can be taken back. Bullets, not really. So wouldn't you rather blow up at somebody and say something really hurtful and nasty that you can later go over and analyze and take back than result in something like this? Okay, enough about that. That's our violent segment for this this week. Let's take a look at some letters, and we'll be taking phone calls, 631-632-9872. I'd like to see some calls come in, and then we'll go into delay and have a bunch of fun on this Super Tuesday, talking about various issues. Okay, here's a letter about politics. After listening to your January 8th Off the Wall podcast, you know it's a radio show too, not just a podcast, I noticed a tie-in between two separate issues you discussed, the discussion about how Germany generally seems to have their act together, and the point you made towards the end about how candidates who are independent or who are no longer in the lead should be given equal attention so that they can at least force the real candidates to take a position on something. The tie-in, of course, is Germany's implementation of the coalition government. If we had such a system here, the smaller parties and less viable candidates would have a much louder voice. Independents wouldn't be instantly written off, and you would never have to see another bumper sticker that says, "Blame me, I voted for Nader." On another note, the Clinton-Obama debate, which you discussed, led me to an important question. As one caller put it, Obama comes off as more earnest, whereas Hillary is perceived as the establishment candidate with more experience. Aside from the implications you noted about having a young black president, electing Obama would mean we would have a really charismatic president for the first time in a long while, maybe since Reagan. I've heard arguments against Obama to the tune of, he's only so impressive because he's so charismatic, don't let that blind you to the real issues. The question that comes to my mind is, should I be weary of a more charismatic politician because of their potential to deceive and misdirect, or should I embrace them because charisma is in fact an extremely important part of the job? After Bush, I would be happy just to see someone in office that John Stewart has a harder time making fun of, and I suspect Obama, even McCain, would be less likely to appear in the Moment of Zen segment day after day. I'm just trying to consider how much importance should be laid upon the raw charisma of a presidential candidate. Thanks, Phil, for that letter. And yes, that kind of thing is a bit important. I think it is anyway. I was excited, there's another letter here, off the wall. I was excited at the beginning of last week's election show because you were talking about Barack Obama. I was interested to hear what bit of insight you would have about him. Then you built up Obama, and the main reason you were pulling for him was because he was black. Surely Obama is deeper than that, but that's what you focused on. I don't remember you talking about any issues on which you agreed with Obama, only that it was good that he is young and black. How depressing. Do you want me to go around promoting your show like that? Hey, everybody, there's a great radio show on the air. Tune in, because it's great. And you know what? The best part is the host is white. Yeah. Emmanuel, you're my hero. I love you like a brother, but seriously, stick to the issues. Signed, Roger. Well, Roger, thanks for the letter. But if you listen, the point I was trying to make was that if we do not look at the issues, and if I start looking at the issues after I say if we don't look at the issues, I'm sort of defeating my own point. The point was, look at the image. The image, just the image alone, I think that's the phrase I used, of electing someone who's black, who has a middle name of Hussein, who has a Muslim upbringing of a sort. He's Christian himself, but he has Muslim roots. That, to the rest of the world, what that says, to have somebody who can enunciate, someone who can speak, someone who's young, all of that. That's the imagery I'm talking about. It's not the only important thing, obviously. But it does matter. It does put forth some. If you elect somebody like John McCain, another 70-plus white guy who believes in war, okay, you know, I've characterized him in a particular way without actually examining where he stands on certain issues. And that image does matter. That image does put forth a picture of this country. And if you elect somebody the way I described Obama, and the rest of the world sees that, they just see that. They see that we've elected this guy who is so radically different in appearance from anybody we've ever elected before. They might just start thinking of this country in a different way. Yeah, Americans can change their pace and look at something different. Of course the issues are important, and we're going to look at the issues. We always do. But that was the point I was making on that particular day. I'd like to hear from listeners as far as what they see the issues as being, the major differences between Obama and Clinton. I'd sure like to hear about that as well. But boy, you know, I think this is what's exciting people, because they see the potential for change, change in image and change in focusing on the issues and what's important to our country. Dear Emmanuel, while I love your show and have been a faithful listener for a year and a half now, it really sounds like you took your Ron Paul story straight off the AP desk without doing any of your own research into the matter. Of course, we're referring to the Ron Paul scandal, which seems to have actually disappeared from the media, maybe only because he's disappeared from the media as well. But this particular story, his newsletter was found to have had all kinds of racist remarks in the 1990s. Things about how the Rodney King riots only ended because black people had to pick up their welfare checks and things like that. And this was in Ron Paul newsletter in the early 1990s. Let me see what some of the actual remarks were. He says that material was not written by him, even though it appeared in the newsletter with his name on it. I don't know. You know, the Ron Paul Political Report from October 1992. If there's an Emmanuel Goldstein letter, you know, newsletter out there, I probably know about it. I probably would, and if it was representing someone who hosted a radio show and published a magazine, you know, I'd take a keen interest in what it was saying with my name. And apparently he didn't. His defense was that he didn't know about it until it was brought to his attention now. See, that's what I don't believe. And how much research do I have to do to further that conclusion? Anyway, continuing the letter here. I won't be the one to lay down all the history on it, as I trust you to find out for yourself. But he responded to the newsletters on CNN on January 10th. Your statement of not needing to know what he's about simply because he's a Republican is a ridiculous statement, considering how the current branch of Republicans are about as far from real Republicans as they could possibly be. I also support anyone voicing opinion or criticism, no matter what it might be, as long as it's kept fair with proper research beforehand. Signed, Sean. Well, Sean, the point I was making with regards to Republicans, yeah, it is, it's only a name. But the people who are currently in charge, whether you like it or not, they've hijacked the Republican Party. If you believe the Republican Party is more noble than the people that are in power now, then yes, they have hijacked it. And you can't blame people for associating others who call themselves Republicans with the ones who are currently in charge. I would believe the current crop of front runners as being different from the existing Republicans if they actually criticize them. They don't. They stand up for Bush. Now, I know Ron Paul does criticize them, and that earns him credit right there for doing that. But he's not embraced by the Republican Party. He's not. He's fooling himself if he thinks he is. He should probably be an independent candidate. But, again, these revelations from his past make me seriously doubt his integrity. Okay. Let's see. We've got a bunch of other letters as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to go into delay. This is very exciting. We're going to go into delay and... Yeah, how does this work again? Okay, I'm going to hit that button there. Then we're going to go into delay, take phone calls or wait for phone calls at 631-632-9872. And once that happens, we'll take your phone calls on this Super Tuesday with your opinions on who's running, who you're going to vote for, if you haven't voted already, if you're going to vote, if you're allowed to vote, if you're maybe like me and you're not allowed to vote. But first, let's have some help getting into delay land from some friends of ours.
WUSB Study Rock!
And here we are in delay. Wasn't that fun? Who let them in here anyway? Our phone number again is 631-632-9872. 631-632-WUSB. We'd like to hear from people initially. I see there are phone calls, but remember I said I was going to divide it up. First of all, I would mostly like to hear from people who have not called us before. Again, I'm not dissing the people who have called us before, but there are other people out there. Lots of times we don't get to all the calls. So if you have never called the show before, and you're listening to the radio station, you have a radio tuned in to 90.1 FM, and you're in the Long Island area, all right, then call up now, 631-632-9872. And here's a handy tip. If you're actually in the area, you don't have to dial the 631. You don't have to dial 631. You can just dial 632-9872. Okay, you see that call disappeared. All right. What we're doing now, we're testing. Yeah, we're testing to see if the transmitter works, to see if people actually listen to us on the radio. Because if they don't listen to us on the radio, we can save a lot of money. We could turn the transmitter off and just broadcast onto the Internet. Yeah, that might be sad, but it would also save a ton of money. So 631-632-9872. If you're listening to the radio station right now, 90.1 FM, you're driving in your car, well, pull over or use that handheld device that apparently is legal and let us know if you're voting in today's primary, if you voted, if you're going to vote, if you wish you could vote, and what you think the issues of the day are and who is the better candidate. 631-632-9872. All right, I see a phone call coming in. Let's see if we can get a couple of them. Let's take this phone call. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Speak up, please.
Hello.
Oh, okay, maybe not so loud. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to talk because you were asking if we wanted to talk to you about being broadcasting.
So right.
Wait. I'm in my car, and I am talking to you.
Okay, where are you calling from? Where are you driving right now?
I am driving on Deer Park Road, and I'm driving home from work, and
great.
I'm not able to vote, unlike you. I mean, just like you. And all the guys at work, the guys that are black, are all voting for Barack Obama.
Uh-huh.
and all the women at work are voting for Hillary just because she's a woman. So there goes the thoughts.
Well, it definitely does seem to be divided along those lines. Now, who are, just to even this out a little bit, who are the white males voting for?
I didn't ask them because those guys are just like snobs.
Uh-huh.
They don't reveal whatever they have to talk about.
Well, they could be the key then, because if it's divided amongst black people and women, white males will certainly have a deciding voice here as far as who gets in. But I hope it's not just people aren't voting just because of the image. The image, like I say, is important, but obviously there's more to it than that. What do you see as some of the issues?
I personally am a signed Republican, so I was hoping that I would like to see somebody who would take care of issues like Roe versus Wade, and I'm very disappointed because I really don't feel like this year I have very much choices.
Uh-huh.
So,
All right, so who do you, first of all, you can vote in the Republican primary then, can't you?
I will.
All right.
But when I do have, I don't know if I'm going to choose Mitt Romney because I don't agree with all his choices either.
Well, you're never going to agree with everybody's choices, not all of them. But who do you think is the most competent to lead in the Republican Party?
I'm so unclear about McCain still.
Uh-huh.
Because someone this morning was talking about him, and I was reading the Newsweek expose on him, and I'm so unclear. I'm so unsure still, and I still have so much time to go still.
Uh-huh. Well, now, are you able to vote today in the Republican? You said you weren't able to vote, but are you a registered Republican?
I am a registered Republican.
So you can vote today, can't you?
Yeah, I could.
Okay, but you're not going to?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, good. All right. Well, I guess maybe you can flip a coin or something.
I might have to.
All right. Well, good luck with that and drive safe.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks for calling. Great. So we have people out there who are listening to us on the radio dial. Now, I'd like to open it up to other people out there in various parts of the world are listening on the Internet. You can call in now, too, 631-632-9872. Again, we would like to hear from new people because it always is good to hear new voices. If you have something you really can't wait to say, though, call us up. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, Manuel. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Where are you calling from?
Washington State. I know you were looking for people local, but...
Well, actually, no. We just changed, so now you kind of made it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Washington State you're in. Are you having a primary today?
Say again?
Are you having a primary in Washington State?
We are, and I did my voting, but what was interesting is you mentioned something about Ron Paul not too long ago.
Yeah.
And the most interesting things that you were saying, because over here, I was seeing a lot of groups demonstrating on the street just a couple of days ago, holding signs and stuff and handing out flyers. A lot of them were saying we're supporting the Constitution and anti-Patriot Act and things like this, and it was kind of interesting.
Uh-huh.
I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on it, if you heard about it.
Well, this was just a demonstration. Was it on behalf of a particular organization or something?
No, it's more like... can't really tell. They didn't identify more than just a group of people supporting Ron Paul, as far as I know.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, he says a lot of good things. He definitely brings up some good issues. It's just that thing from his past kind of disturbed me in the way he sort of didn't take any kind of responsibility, like this kind of thing was happening. He had no awareness of it. That just leaves me with all sorts of doubt. I wish there were more candidates, though, bringing up the issues that he was bringing up. I wish there were more Dennis Kuciniches, and that's what an election should be. And unfortunately, the way it's set up, it's kind of like by the time people like me get a voice, it's all decided. And I think that's by the time most of the country gets to make a vote. I mean, all these candidates are out of it now, and it's really down to two or three on each party. So there should be more people saying more what is considered outrageous things.
I agree. I remember way back when you got arrested, when you were, covered.
Okay, well, we can't have that, unfortunately, on the air. That's just the way it is. All right. Well, let's see if the delay system actually works. The delay system works. All right. I'm sorry, we can't have that kind of language on the air. You didn't offend me, but you offended the FCC. So that's just the way it goes. Good evening. You're on the radio, off the wall.
Yes, hi.
How you doing? Where are you calling from? Sorry, go ahead.
Calling from Southern California.
Southern California. You guys have a big primary today.
I do, but it's very strange. If you're registered, if you want to vote in the Republican primary, you have to be a registered Republican.
Right. Well, same here in New York.
But if you're if you're what they call non-aligned, you can vote in either the Democratic primary or you can vote in the American Independent Party primary.
Who's running in the American Independent Party?
I haven't a clue.
Okay. Well, you know, what you said about independents being able to vote in a Democratic primary, that could be major for Obama because independents seem to really be supportive of him, not so much so for Clinton.
Right, exactly. And then the other thing is we've got seven fairly important propositions that are on this ballot. So that's bringing a lot of people out to vote.
Uh-huh.
They have to do with sharing revenue from the tribal casinos and what was the other two? Oh, extending term limits and transportation funds and then also lowering the cost of community college.
Yeah, and I understand you guys have moved back to mechanical machines, so you don't have electronic voting anymore.
Well, yeah, L.A. County is using Inkadot, so it's it's a computer card, looks like a punch card, but you have this little, I don't know, stylus, and you stick it in, and you make an actual ink circle on the card, and then that gets read by a scanner. Now, of course, the scanner can always be played with, as you guys have...
That's true. Right. It might take a little bit longer to get the results, too, as a result of this.
True.
So we might have to stay up all night long to figure out who actually won in California, but there are a lot of delegates at stake over there.
Yes, quite a few.
Interesting. So did you vote?
Not yet. I'm actually, it's funny, I requested my ballot by mail, and electronically I requested through the website for the county.
Okay.
So I still haven't gotten it. So
really?
I was waiting just a little bit more. It's only about 3:30 here, 3:45.
Well, did the mail come or didn't it?
Check my mailbox, see if it came. If it does come, I can always take it over. I can't mail it today because it won't count, but I can always take it over and drop it off at the balloting place.
And what happens if it didn't come?
I think I can go over and vote on a provisional ballot.
Okay. Wow. Is there a reason why you requested that?
I just wanted to try it and also wanted to see if, kind of like you guys would do, I wanted to see if I requested it at the very last minute, would it get to me in the mail?
Ah, good. Good experiment.
Knowing that I could always, show up in person and do it myself.
All right. That sounds like a really good experiment. Let us know how it turned out.
I'll let you know.
All right. Good luck.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Take care. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, Emmanuel. I'm coming from the Commonwealth of Kentucky, which also holds closed primaries.
What kind of phone?
And of course, we don't hold ours until the 20th of May, so even if, even if you can vote in it, it's kind of like, what's the point?
Wow, 20th of May. That's forever.
Yeah. Do we really have any question at that point who they're going to be? But, I'm sort of in the same boat as you are in that registered independent can't, not going to be able to take part in it anyway.
Uh-huh.
Of course, they have the deadlines for, if you want to switch your party registration so that you can vote in the primary, and then some people just switch back right after.
Well, when is that deadline? When can you switch?
New Year.
The New Year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
5 months ahead of time.
And you can't switch back for another year, I don't think, right?
That I don't know about. I'm not sure of the rules on that.
Uh-huh.
But, I was a Kucinich guy, so what good was that going to do me anyway now that he's out? So.
Well, who would you vote for if you had the opportunity?
If I had the opportunity between Obama and Clinton, I would probably go for Obama.
And why?
Hard to say, unfortunately.
You see, this is the point I'm trying to make. I think in a lot of cases, it's simply because of what he represents, something different just in appearance sake. What he says is not radically different from what Clinton says. It really is not. Although he does have to point to the fact that he did not vote for the war. And I simply cannot buy Clinton's explanation that, if I knew what I knew now, then I wouldn't have done it. You know, all of us marching in the streets back in 2003, we knew what she apparently didn't know, and yet she voted for it anyway. How is it we had more knowledge than politicians? I don't accept that explanation. That just seems like a typical Washington cover-up.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a great quote from Kucinich quite a while ago. It was one of the debates, I think, actually. It might have just been a speech he was giving where he talked about, how hard it must be for these people to come out on stage and admit that they were fooled by George Bush about the reasons for the war. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, insane. And to just be able to say, yes, I messed up, I made a mistake, I was wrong. I can sort of see Obama doing that. I think he has said things like that in the past. Clinton just, in the way George Bush does, will never admit, yeah, I totally blew it. That's what I want to see. I want to see that kind of honesty.
Hey, I made a mistake. I'll try to do better next time. You know, it does mean a lot.
Right. And the war, you know, I'm upset that the war is not front and center as far as the issues. I imagine it will be when Democrat meets Republican in debates. But, wow, that is the biggest issue. Nothing should be a bigger issue than that. Thousands of our young people are dying. We've wasted so much money on this. We've decimated a country. All of this needs not only to be dealt with, but the people who made it happen should be held accountable. That has to be discussed.
Absolutely. I mean, I'd like to see healthcare up at the front too.
Oh yeah.
Although, you know, I would have liked to have seen a proper debate on the Kucinich plan for healthcare, but you know, I'm not going to keep campaigning for the man anymore.
All right. Hey, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for calling and best of luck to you.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right. Take care. Calls from all over the place today. Kentucky was that latest one. Thanks everybody for calling in. And you can email us, if I can get the words out. You can email us, otw@2600.com. If you have the opportunity to vote today, exercise it and vote for somebody. Let us know how it went, if anything unusual happened, and let us know what you think the issues are. And we'll find out next week. We'll find out tonight, actually, how it all goes. Might be historical. There might be changes in the works or just the perception of changes. Sometimes that's enough to inspire people. In any event, we'll keep track of it here, and we'll be back again next week with another exciting edition of Off the Wall. So then, Emmanuel Goldstein, have yourselves a good night. See you tomorrow on Off the Hook.